So I'd like to know if you have anything to share or ask to start with. How's it going? I'm trying to imagine what it would be like to do a retreat here. I never did. The retreats I did were when I was in my 20s, were in a different, quite different environment. How's the language? How's it going? It's okay. How's the American English? Is it getting anywhere?
So far, so good.
Okay. Okay. Is there anything, any questioning around what came up yesterday? Anything that's of interest to you that's cooking, bubbling, digested, undigested?
Could you speak a bit louder?
Yeah. If I drink some water. And if I slide over, I can also see you. So anything about being in the flow?
Can you still be in the flow when everything sort of seems frozen or sort of stopped or blocked?
What's your experience? Could you hear his question? Could you hear him? Can you still be in the flow when everything feels blocked or frozen or stopped? And I asked him back. I hear you saying yes.
Yeah, my heart just said yes then. But I'm just interested in what you was feeling.
Beautiful question. Maybe I think we can just use the simple example of sports that people talk about being in the flow in sports. And excuse me. It's not that there's no obstacle. If there were no obstacle, there would be no game. But there's a way with the obstacles, so to say, that's not highlighting the obstacleness. It's not in the kind of no mode. It's not so much in a yes mode necessarily, like we would say, okay, rather than no, yes, but it's not even bothering about saying yes. It's just a different mode altogether, and that's why I'm curious to hear your experience. But it's not that flow means there's no problem, no obstacle, no nothing in the way, everything going how I planned. It's not a planned mode. So it's cool, your question, because that allows it to get, we can feel how much bigger it is now. We can be completely in contraction, frozen, stuck, stopped, blocked, in the flow. It's very freeing.
Very
freeing. So what's going on? What are you feeling now?
Well, it's just sort of been a developing thing of I can't sort this out. So just letting it be there and putting it down and working with the other stuff that I need to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of went from here to just down there, and I don't even know that it's really the end game anymore. Yeah.
Could you say what you mean by maybe not the end game for people who didn't grow up learning English?
The solving of that problem isn't the result that is so important anymore. It's almost like just being more flowing is.
Yeah, that's what I mean by very freeing. So sometimes it's by trying, and we can't. We can't deal with something. We can't make the relationship better. We can't make the body uncontract or whatever. And then we kind of admit that I can't. And we think that's the worst. We think it's going to be the worst. And it can be a discovery that Damon is being mild, saying maybe getting that result that I wanted is not so important. And what if we just say it actually doesn't matter so much?
Yeah, you shouldn't have said that.
It doesn't so much matter if my meditation goes the way I think it should. It doesn't matter so much if there's another fight with the neighbor or whatever. And then what that allows is this feeling of that being flowing, I think is what you said.
I didn't, but we'll go with it.
What did you say? It was nice.
I just said being in the flow.
Being in the flow, okay. Can feel more, what word would you use if not important?
There just seems to be less sticking on things, less hindrances. There's more sort of ease. Yeah.
And then yesterday you were speaking and you said you were speaking in the dark, and that was Damon's voice saying that when there's a shift more into connection with what is actually happening rather than what I expected, he said a few things, but he said it feels more possible. And that sounds like now you're describing again from another, in other words, something similar. So that what that is impossible, I admit and just stop trying in that way. And then you said, then I kind of deal with what needs dealing with. So then there's what's possible starts to happen, which is a flow. And we start to access what we could call like a transpersonal mind. If we just think about being in the flow, and I'll just give a few more days to let those memories and experiences come up. But noticing how is the sense experience, how does it work when we're even a little bit in the flow or very much in the flow, so to speak? What are the sense impressions like, and how does that work with our actual living and actions? And what happens to the usual sense of me living and doing? Where is that? So we leave it like that for now. Is there anyone else? Anything to, a comment or something to ask? Something of interest to you? So good to be here together. I'm really happy that you made it. I love feeling how this mixture of all of us, so similar and so different, we're gradually arriving still. And we're arriving each in our own kind of path and also into this group kind of chemistry. And I was just reflecting today because I feel so much appreciation for each of you, like to feel your flavor that you have, like it or not, like you have that flavor. You don't have to do something to have it. And while it might be on that first day, also with the music this morning, etc., there might have been trouble. It might have been hard to quiet down sometimes, etc. But what most comes across to me in the room is more the gifts of each of you. And being able to feel with those of you that I've known for sometimes quite a long time now, 10, 15 years or more. How the kind of gifts get enriched over the years. They get so rich. It's almost like a fruit tree that comes to fruit again and again, and it goes through its cycles again. And as if each time the fruit has all of that from all those years before coming into the flavor of the fruit. So it's got that more sweetness, tartness, crunch, color. So specific to that tree. And so just by the way, it's this great encouragement to go ahead and get old. It's really, really a good idea. So much easier to feelingly know what matters and to feelingly know what is coming up that you just can just walk to the other side of the street. And then if you want to go back again, you can. You can just flow around much more things that we had been tangled in before. And so it's interesting to me that what came to my mind today is a kind of speculation, because I'm really not into speculation. And that word means kind of theoretically sort of imagining what if. I'm much more into, as you might have noticed already, direct experience now, but it seems like from what we can feel in our experience now, we might be able to make some important guesses about our lifetime. And so I just wonder if it's not maybe just that we get richer and richer through the lifetime of practice. And the more wholesome, thorough practice, the more rich, the more sweet, the more crunchy or whatever. And then body and mind come apart, and that's just gone. So that might be the case. It might be, probably. The body and mind fall apart. And so then I wonder what could be a good way to live with the gifts that we have that keep getting richer over the years in a life of practice. What might be a good way for those gifts to be in a lifetime? Does that make sense as a question? Is it of interest as a question? Or I could skip that part. Keep it to myself. So I feel like maybe it's obvious also, the gifts of each person in the room. And those that you've known now, how much richer, and each year we come here again and wow. And so it could be that at death, that just falls apart. So someone has a good mind. Wow. And used well during the lifetime for good projects, and then it just falls apart. They know a lot by the end of their life, and then it's gone. What could be the kind of use of the good mind while it's alive? They just have a good heart. Some people just do somehow. It comes across. Or they're even the bodily presence just radiates something. It's just good. It's not about like being in shape so much, but. And then is it just like, yeah, so what? It's good and then it's gone. It could be. But what if it isn't? I'm just wondering. If there could be a way that those gifts would be, let's say, used in a way that kind of maybe just makes sense, we could say. And what I really mean by make sense is that something happens from that good mind or good heart or good bodily presence or whatever, good sense of humor, etc. That doesn't fall apart. That's my question. From there are more obvious questions. So if there's, let's say, a good way of being used, does it make sense? So a way, I'm starting again the sentence. If there could be a way that the gifts could be used well for something beyond the lifetime, bigger than the person's lifetime. Okay. If there is, then of course it would be good to know what helps us to be available to be used by what's leading that movement. So that mixture of just the natural gift, the person may be completely unaware of themselves, and then what they've also worked on, what they've struggled through, or what they've just loved, and they just gave to that, to learning the flute or Sanskrit or whatever, or to serving or something. So one kind of influence that could come into the investigation could be from the work of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And one time she said that working with people who were dying and then noticing things. What she noticed was that when people came near their own death, they also started to know what makes sense or what matters. So what's still valuable even when it's about to fall apart? And what she said, I'm not saying this is the answer for everyone or at all, but what she said is love and service. And then we need to wonder what she means by those two words. And in a way, I'd like to leave that just open for each of us to feel, more than trying to analyze what I think she means by those words, love and service. Then maybe after a couple of days of sort of sleeping, dreaming, eating, walking, lying down together with that question and those two words, maybe it comes up again here or in a one-to-one or whatever. But I would like to add to the list. I don't remember much about, I did used to know about her life. I don't remember much about it now. But I wonder if she maybe didn't meditate so much. That there isn't maybe the word quiet or silence or something like that in the list. Or if that's what she felt in love and service, maybe. I'd like to draw upon a Sanskrit text to bring in four qualities that overlap with love and service, but in a different language. In the Yog Vashisht, the teacher Vashisht is giving this suggestion that there are these four gatekeepers of enlightenment. And he's suggesting that we could eat them, that we could digest them. So it's quite a weird metaphor or language. Maybe they're made of chocolate or something. But that even one of them fully digested is enough, the more the better. The first one, I would like to come back to the word love. And again, ask you to feel now, if you want to, in the next days, or maybe the rest of your life, if you like, just to feel into our experience of what we call love. And it doesn't have to be only the kind of fancy love, impersonal, spiritual, or whatever. But any experience that you would call love, what it's like, what happens, what's our idea of it and what happens. So that practice that Damon gave us yesterday of noticing we're caught and the wheels got stuck because we're in the expected version of experience, and then just shifting back into actually what's happening. So the teacher Almas has a lovely phrase about love, and he says that we say we have love for nature or whatever, we have love for good food, we have love for people. And he says, it's not that we have love, it's that love has us. Love has you. It has you. It has access to you. It's moving through you. We could say it's using you. Or it's coming through. So that deep quality of our, let's say, nature, our deep nature, has us. It's got a little channel, a little crack that it can come through. I would say that in that experience of love has you, it's not just a vibrational feeling. There's also that sense of vibrating with it. You love chocolate. You love drinking water when you're thirsty. You love feeling your foot on the ground. It's accessible. It's not like, oh no, poor you, you don't have love. I think that there's a sense of kind of vibrational happening, a vibrational sense of love has you. That is or acts upon us as a kind of willingness to let something emerge. That it's not something we already know what it is. It's a willingness to behave differently. So to leave space for something else to happen that's not my plan or my program. A willingness to feel some kind of leading edge and a willingness to follow that. A willingness to follow through on some kind of emergence. And so one example of that, the teacher of one of my teachers, Ramana Maharshi, as a teenager, one time suddenly thought, I'm about to die. And then he lay down. He let it emerge, and he followed that. He kept following that. And okay, so what if I'm dead? What's left? And it just opened out for him. Then we hear that experience and we would like to copy it. We like to have that. And we've lost touch with our love of our own, which would be our own way, our own opening out. So we've gotten kind of maybe insecure, and we want to get secure by getting what he did. We've gotten into that more poverty mode. And then if we just go, okay, poverty, yeah, like Damon said, I can't. Which takes honesty. I can't. But it's just because that's not happening. That's not actually happening now. We would be pretending. And just staying there as if I'm a failure. Okay, so I'm a failure. Something else starts to happen. And then because we're a failure, we go with it. Might as well. And then that goes along with a certain kind of honoring of the importance of leaving space. So there's a willingness to give up and feel that life didn't give up and something is bubbling and we just, okay, so since I'm a failure, I might as well go along. And then that smell gets in our nose of that aliveness. And we're so glad that we were a failure finally. Too bad it didn't happen before when we were 16. So that's that kind of supple. So supple would be like bamboo that's not too thick, or someone who's very flexible or whatever. So pasta that's been well cooked can really be willing to follow that tiny little sort of growing leading edge, having given up after failure. And then a kind of stability. I just keep finding the word rigor, which is not an, the first word in English if you're studying English. So anyone want to help me with rigor? I tried yesterday. Rigor. Yeah.
Let's give us the context again.
So there's that suppleness of being willing to go along. Because I'm a failure, I'm willing to go along with this sort of bubbling, tiny failure that's emerging. I'm willing to go along with it. And then I get the smell in my nose of that freshness and I'm onto it. And then I start to realize that it's so important to that there would be space, there would be openness. It's not only a willingness, there's got to be the openness for something to bubble up that I could then follow. So a kind of it's really honoring the importance of openness and kind of guarding it and letting our energy really go into guarding that openness. So the willingness to be led, vichar. The rigor, abhyas. Just keep on remembering how important to leave space. And that helps us, the construction of what I thought I was, to fall apart. So the way Dhamman said he realized, after failure, we realized that what I was a failure at, I was trying to solve that problem, I was trying to be nice, I was trying to be calm, I was trying to be flow, I was trying to be something and I couldn't. I was trying to be Ramana Maharshi and I couldn't. And then we gave up, and then something else started to happen. And then that got interesting, and then we're ready to give our lives for that, to give space for that. It's so good. And then we start to really get in our system that those kind of blocks of things that we think we were supposed to deal with, we were supposed to solve, before we could go on to the next level of the video game. Those things don't matter so much. They don't matter. They're not the game. That's in that way, they don't matter. And that just brings such an ease. An ease that's very absorptive. I use that word, but I don't know if it exists outside of myself. Is that a word?
Absorptive, yes.
Okay. So it's not just an ease like, ah, I'm done at the end of the day. Ugh. But it's an ease that is also very willing to fill up and to overflow. And it's maybe a little bit like the feeling of if you like to swim in the lake and you've swum in the lake and you've come out of the lake and you're kind of full of lake water in the sun. Like on a hot day, that coolness stays for hours. I don't think we're quite that hot yet here, but all very individual. So the main thing is, I'm not that interested in how I'm doing. I'm not that interested in whether I'm dealing with my problems. I'm not that interested in if I have problems. It's not an irresponsibility about problems, though. It's not an avoidance. It's just that I'm not continually bruising myself with letting that be the measure of me, of my value. My value isn't dependent on the level of problem today. And anyway, what is a problem? Sometimes it's obvious. There are certain problems. They're just obviously problems. Many times they're imaginary. It's constructed. So like Karenji this morning gave a great example of, isn't it supposed to be that on my third, fourth, fifth, or sixth retreat, it would be easier to get in to the flow or the silence? Not necessarily. We're not just now trading the old programming for a new programming, and then it just is a new machine, and we're happy to have that new car smell. It's so not a machine. So we're less interested in measuring myself, which is so lucky. So lucky. Because most of the problem is just that habit of continually turning it all around to be about me again. And how wrong or how well I finally did it or whatever. It just leaves even more openness for actual meeting with life inside and outside of ourselves. And I'd like to call it teaching, even though that's such a dangerous word. Just meeting inside and outside as teaching. So it just means that we allow the kind of innate natural goodness in this package of myself and what's beyond that to be not to. And in that kind of meeting of me and life, not to, in the goodness of it, not the rightness, but just that it's just good. Even difficulties, we can sort of feel the goodness sometimes. There's a way that the energy gets a bump up and bigger. And then allows us to be beginners again. A whole new realm, a whole new dimension of the same world. Anything to comment or ask so far?
It's a relief to remember that. All that you're saying, what I understand and what I don't understand, but what I'm feeling is a relief of all that other stuff that stops me from meeting the moment. Does that make sense? That's what I've just felt. After you spoke, there was a real like, oh yes. Oh, what a relief that there's nothing to prove to myself or there's nothing to achieve. Ever, maybe. But there is so much to achieve, I don't know. In that letting go and that. We'll see.
What word would you use for that relief that there could just be meeting allowed?
I mean, a word that I really find is that sort of that friendliness to all that comes.
And I'm going to just ask again one more time. Then, yes, then the friendliness, the relief, the friendliness in the possibility to just that meeting is allowed. How does that land inside you? Just a if any spontaneous word comes, it might not come a word to describe it.
Well, there's the love word.
The love word.
The obvious. And I think a very, almost an innocent love. Just a gentle, innocent love.
Yeah. Thank you. Anything more come to mind? Just now? Doesn't have to, I'm just checking.
It's nice to say those words and not feel, not judge myself for those words.
Mm-hmm. Good. Be at home in your home.
Just simple. Yeah.
Some words came over here. Yeah.
When you were talking about love, and I was wondering whether, how does one wade through feelings of love, as in the way that you're talking about, and attachment? And sometimes the attachment gets mistaken for love, and mm-hmm. love gets mistaken for attachment.
Yeah.
And that's something that you experience in your body.
Yes.
Most intensely.
Good.
So, I had one question about that, and the other question was actually a little bit more. I didn't understand about the word teaching. You used the word mm-hmm. teaching.
Yeah.
The inside and the outside.
Okay.
That.
So that, just very simply, I meant that there can be a deep meeting inside, just as well as there could be a deep meeting with a place or a person. And in that sort of letting the meeting happen, that sort of energy comes. So that's all I meant. Yeah. Coming into that direct contact with we could say almost the nothing where everything comes from. So it's not even so much anymore direct contact with you. But through you, through me, something finds itself. And then that gives something to us and helps our path to unfold. So does that part?
But why do you call it teaching?
Partly because I want to rearrange our thinking around teaching. Mm. That it can be that accessible. And then from there, from that perspective, we could then question, what have I been calling teaching? And what is that compared to this? And what's the place, for example, of then words? How do they rhyme with that? Meeting that goes beyond person to the deepest place, like the deeper source, so to say, or beyond my storefront and your storefront. And some kind of with or without words. So words can happen in those meetings too. They can be important in those meetings. And a lot of the text that we have is that. Recorded more or less faithfully, usually edited, etc. But it could be that if the trunk of the tree is more the meeting, that doesn't need to necessarily have a teacher out there to give me something that I don't have. And what actually is that dynamic if there's me, student, and their teacher, me not having, she, he, they having? Is there anything valuable going on there? Or relatively valuable, maybe. Less important. And then it's much more in our own, under our own influence. That we can learn from situations, and we can learn from ourselves, and we can learn from other people. Without it being trying to go and be influenced by. It's more that there would be almost like presenting our most tender spot, meeting another most tender spot, and that happening. Whereas usually we would go to a teacher and we would present our, okay, either this is my problem, this block that I can't take apart, do something, or my head, our hardest part, we would just say, okay, or my best behavior, or whatever. We would present that to a teacher, someone we perceive as a teacher. And then what kind of communication happens or doesn't happen in that situation? Anything come more?
I think there's a point in terms of love and feeling that connection, and that's not just, I think, in a spiritual sense, but people that you love. They may not be part of a relationship or partner, but other people that you love.
Yeah.
That there is something that it's a lot of words that I exchange, but there is that something about an energy when you meet that. of it cannot be described in words. It comes from a space that's not in language.
What more? Anything more? You were thinking, and I'm curious.
No, it was just because I'm I think that in struggling with the idea of failure.
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 Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that I'll have to think about in the next few days.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what you're trying to say in terms of creating a space.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that resonated with,
mm-hmm.
it touched something.
Okay. Okay, good. And your question about love and attachment, I felt like you answered when you said you can feel it in your body. So even though we get confused because we use the word love for both love and attachment, it's not actually very confusing. We can feel it in our body, the difference. And it's often mixed. But that gives us a way to investigate why attachment comes in. What it feels like, what it does, how it isn't love. It isn't. And it behaves differently. And so then that can just be clear. Anything else? Can we end?
Love and attachment. Attachment I can understand with my mind, but love, how do we recognize love if it's not attachment?
Great. So that's your question.
Yeah.
I think it's good to give it at least a few days.
Yeah.
And really hear how you phrased it so beautifully.
I've already forgotten.
So you said you can understand attachment with your mind. And love. Mm. So I think that's a really good starting place. Just, okay, that. What you said already is a kind of insight. And a good way to, okay, so I realize I don't know with my mind what love is. And how could it be without being attachment? So if we can just rearrange the words a little bit. So just take out the how, maybe. Could it be without attachment? And not, I would recommend not thinking about those bigger situations out there, but just smaller details where you can just simply feel the ripple in the body. You love that flower. You want that flower. You start planning how you're going to plant those flowers around your home or whatever. Are you going to come back next year and paint them or whatever? Or you just love the flower and something kind of washes or whatever happens. But it just might be a good starting place that exactly it's hard to say to know with the mind what love is. if it's not attachment. So what if it isn't? Maybe. Were you about to ask something or say something, Neriji, or? Okay. So I'd just like to close with another question that it could be interesting for some of us. That feeling of feeling into what gifts could be, how they could be used in a lifetime that could go beyond the lifetime. And maybe one way of getting into the questioning could be, if we would be used, what would we be used by? And if it's uncomfortable to use the word used, then you can go more sort of roomy. I mean, R-U-M-I, poetic. You know, an instrument, what would you be played by? And if you want to complete the sentence somehow, you can, like, what would it make sense for your instrument to be played by? Or what would be sweetness itself to be used by or played by what or by whom or whatever? And then we can really check in our experience how we're mostly used by, so to say, our programming. So, which is a lot conditioning, both personal and collective, and also biological programming, probably other layers of programming. Does that make sense? Is there a sweetness in that? What is there in that? So there is something. Sometimes we get, there's a charge that we get when, according to my programming, things are going correctly. The machine is running well. There's a certain charge that we get, etc. But if we would love not to be used by programming, that our gifts are not available to our programming. Then what? And then one possible experiment to make in your practice, if you would like to, is just feeling both in the moment and also feeling open to maybe a memory could come of a past moment. Where maybe just so simple, the sunlight in the leaves or the sound of the birds or your foot on the ground or a thought came up that really fit. So Janine used the word innocent. It could just be something felt so natural. That there comes a feeling of the timeless. So in a simple and specific, so there's limits to the situation. There's you and your body and that flower or that taste or whatever, that thought or that smile that you happen to catch sight of or whatever. But then something happens that seems bigger. Maybe that has something to say for our wondering. Thank you for listening and participating. For the deep listening inwardly, especially in your practice today. In the hall and outside. I really appreciate the words are just sort of like paper, so I just say I really appreciate beyond words your practice, your being here. That willingness to be led beyond what you've known already. May all our practice and all our lives be dedicated in fullness to what's important, to an emergent momentum towards liberation for all, including ourselves.